recorded live at Nightmare Studios in Houston, Texas, you're listening to the Genghis and Ragman Show, where two jamokes drink and rate craft beer while they chew the fat about the world of hard rock and heavy metal, followed up by one-on-one interviews with veterans and newcomers in the industry. I'm your official announcer, Joey Clams, and here to introduce themselves is tonight's special guest.
Hi, this is Billy Sherwood from World Trade, and I give you the right to rock.
Further ado, here are two co-hosts who are so metal they use aluminum foil for toilet paper. It's Genghis and Ragman.
Finger in the ear, like you're actually recording, like you're in the studio.
Yeah, I was.
As like a professional.
Yeah, I'm a professional.
You fuck.
How you doing?
Doing alright, Paisan.
Long time no see, no talk.
Like a motherfucker, dude.
It's summer's over.
I finally was able to get my canoe over to this part of town.
No shit. Fucking Harvey, dude. Harvey turned me into an alcoholic.
It's
dude,
Harvey's
freaking fault. Like a fish every day.
You mean more than...
Why not? That was the motto around this house.
But you missed like half of it, didn't you?
No,
or did you get
no.
back right before?
We got home right before.
Right when it happened. That's nice.
Yeah, well, we got home... It happened on Saturday. We got home the Wednesday before.
Oh, okay. So you'd already been here. Okay, I thought you got in the weekend.
We didn't know shit about it. It was like some guy...
Like, what's going on? You didn't know it's coming?
No, it was...
Oh, that's right, because they didn't were mentioning it when you left.
Not in Italy, man. So,
dude.
Yeah, I'm sitting there and... They were on the bus over the thing. So
all
he's
the
like,
trouble.
Where are you, Volksman? I was like, I don't ever squirt a piss for you. I don't care where you and your fucking family went. He goes, hey, watch out. I was like, okay. He goes, you heard about Harvey? He was like, no, I don't know any fucking Harvey, and I don't know you.
Who the fuck are you talking to like that?
No, so the guy's like talking about the storm. I'm like, hype.
Which is a typical Houstonian reaction, like, whatever, hurricane.
Yeah, bullshit, yeah. So, anyway, my wife starts freaking out. I was like, we gotta watch coverage of it. I'm like, they're never right about these things. It's always a thing for the grocery stores. I think they're in, like, cahoots with the weather people.
To get you to go buy when they got surplus water or something.
Say on the news that there's a hurricane coming. We got all these extra
goods. We'll clear the fucking shelf. That's the way it was. Peanut butter was gone like a motherfucker. Water.
Well, we had to go to the store. We didn't have anything in the fridge after being gone for 2 weeks.
Right. All of a sudden, so, nothing.
Yeah, well, I went. I had to think. Well, we had another thing. The studio, we'll tell you about that in a bit. John should be dismissed, but he was
left in charge.
Yes. Well, we'll get into that in a minute. So we get home, and I had to come home early, and I was like, fuck, I got time to go to the grocery store. Dude, I went on a Thursday afternoon, and it was like Saturday morning at the grocery store.
Damn.
And so I went in there, I got some water, got some stuff, and anyway, I was like, you know, what the fuck? And I asked the lady, I said, why is it so busy? Well, there's a hurricane coming, sir. I'm like, ah, yeah, whatever.
Hurricane shmurricane.
I said, I just need groceries. So I get my groceries, and the next day, all the hype's really building. And I'm like, maybe we should go get a couple more things.
Yeah.
Why not? For a goof.
That's right.
So we did it, and... Dude, we were in pretty good shape. Nice. As you know, the cellar is stocked with many a beer.
This is true.
So I wasn't going to run out of beer at all.
No.
And Wifey was stocked on wine, and we had plenty of food. What are you going to do?
It's like, let's just hang out.
Yeah. So we ate in all week. It was cool. We didn't spend any more money after we fucking blew our wad in Europe and lost. We didn't lose any money. We just spent a shitload.
Oh, fuck.
So I came back at Dad Holmes.
Hey, these things, that's what vacation's all about.
Exactly.
Like, let's go somewhere and come back with no money.
The fucking aftermath. Oh, this is a familiar scene.
Yeah, this hasn't changed a bit.
Pause.
Come back screen. To a pause screen of fucking Blu-ray.
What's wrong with you guys? I said for her nose, I know too tough for you.
Hello.
Yeah. I threw a bagel at you when I came in earlier.
That ain't gonna get it, guys.
I don't know what you're implying. See your eyes darting around.
I'm just gonna say I watched Charlie dinner tonight. That we're good.
You fucker.
Okay, we're not even gonna go there.
Yeah, I wanna talk about
that. Can you hit the button, please?
Yeah, just do us a favor.
Oh, there we go.
Nice, what we got here?
Looks like a little Primal Fear, man.
Nice.
There was a video we did a while back. Angels of Mercy, Made in Germany.
That's supposed to rhyme? Angels of Mercy, Made in Germany.
Angels of Mercy, Made in Germany. Or Angel of Mercy. Oh, dude. You ever dig Fifth Angel?
Yeah, yeah. I like a little Fifth Angel.
Why don't we play Angel of Mercy?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Freaking love that band. It's for a real? Shame they had 2 really great records, and then the whole scene changed, so we didn't get any more music. But I think the guitar player was James Byrd. He did some shrapnel stuff, which was pretty cool stuff too, you know. But
cool.
Hadn't heard from him forever either.
For real.
But anyway, Primal Fear, man, they keep on kicking, dude. Putting out product pretty often, about every other year or so. I always dig them. I mean, a lot of people say, oh, there's the Judas Priest, rip off, whatever. I was like, who cares if their music's good?
And you said a little something when you were seeing just the intro to this DVD.
Ralph Spears is looking a little bit like Albert.
Motherfucker looks a lot like. Has he always been a shaved head?
No.
Oh, okay. So that's kind of a new.
He's got the beard thing going. Rob looking. Or has he been? I guess he's got a shaved head for a while. Yeah.
But the beard, though. I mean, Rob doesn't have a beard. Rob Halford, does he?
Well, he's got the goat.
Oh, that's right. I see the guy. I was going to say. I didn't think he had a full beard. Okay.
No, no. He doesn't have a full beard.
You love those guys where they're like bald on top and they get the full fucking beard. It's like, if I can't grow it up here, it's going to get grown down here.
The Duck Dynasty bullshit. Whatever happened to those pricks?
I don't know.
I don't mean to call them pricks. I never watched the show. But it was a whole thing there for a while.
Yeah. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? I think everybody they get, I think that's just classic Americana, right? It's like we find somebody, build them up into a fucking giant people, put them on pedestals so we can knock them the fuck down. Like, fuck that guy.
Exactly.
Because inevitably, you know, you start to act like, oh, man, they're following them everywhere. What do they do? What's this guy eat? It's the new fucking Duck Dynasty diet and every other fucking thing.
Yeah.
Then before you know it, it's like, I heard that he, you know, walked by a kid once and didn't say hello. Fuck that guy. These guys are such dicks. And then all of a sudden, they're everybody's fucking whipping boy.
Wasn't it like a racial slur or something?
I'm sure it was something like that. I mean, even the kids are, you know, one of their big guys, PewDiePie. He's got a stupid name. He's a one of those YouTube guys.
Uh-huh.
So he's like in his 20s, young dude. So he's just got, I don't know why, this dude gets, I think he makes over, I mean, I know he makes 7 figures a year just doing YouTube videos.
Wow.
And it's him playing video games. So people watch him playing video games, and he's got his own channel, makes a shit ton of money. And ever since he got really big and YouTube made him into this mega star, like their like flagship dude,
yeah,
he started saying all this controversial shit in his videos. And for all we know, he's always done that, but no one gave a fuck.
Right.
And now that he's super big and famous, now it's every little step he takes, every misstep, they're all over his ass. Like, fuck this guy. What a prick.
Oh, wow.
So he's got to go on and apologize. I'm so sorry that he was playing some game and he said the N-word. I don't know why. I don't know what context it was in. Mm-hmm. But he said it, and then he's just like, oh, I'm really sorry, buddy, for saying that. It was really inappropriate. It's like, then why the fuck did you say it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you're either going to be who you are, good or bad, or you're not. So you wonder, like, what the fuck is this? It's like fake, concern or sheepishness, where you're like, oh man, I really fucked up. It's like, you didn't seem just so fucking concerned when you said it.
Yeah, exactly.
So now all of a sudden, you know what I mean? It's like, so which is it? Do you like saying it or not like saying it? You're ashamed of saying it? Then why the fuck did you say it? You know what I mean? It's all bullshit to
exactly.
me. But anyway, what are you going to do?
I don't know what I'm going to do. But fuck that guy. I don't even know him.
I know. He looks like a dickhead. You know when you see him, like, fuck this dude.
Anybody that has pie at the end of their name?
It's a red flag.
It's a major red flag.
Yeah, I'll show you.
Well, I tell you what. We're gonna get a little. He looks like a fucking jerk off.
Yeah, he's a dickhead.
He looks like a jerk off.
Yeah,
that's what I think.
He pretty much is.
He's got the curlers.
But I mean, the motherfucker makes all this money just for dicking around on YouTube. We should be so fucking lucky.
Yeah,
I could be an asshole.
Fucking millionaire.
I could be an asshole on YouTube. It's easy.
Yeah.
I'm an asshole already. Just put me on TV.
No shit.
You gotta promise me, no more bullshit.
Hey, Cap, you know I'm cool, but I can take no responsibility for these white devils.
The right to rock.
Well, I tell you what, let's give everybody a taste. First off, just real quick on the video, it's shot fucking amazing.
Yeah, it looks great.
Looks like
dude.
They're in a club in Europe somewhere or something like that.
Exactly.
But it's shot very well. Looks great. We're actually in the screening room tonight due to some difficulties of the studio. And not related to Harvey.
That's what's weird.
Related to Hurricane John. Or Hurricane Jock.
But, exactly.
We'll get into that in a few minutes. But I tell you what, let's play some... Primal Fear, give you a taste. How about I always dug Angel in Black?
Nice.
Let's do that.
Thank you.
Oh, Matt Sinner is like, I'm going to play metal forever.
I said, I will never stop. Even when I die, I'll keep going.
He's actually in Jorn's band now.
Oh, no shit?
Yeah. Matt Sinner.
Nice.
There was a band, I think Voodoo Circle or something, and it was Matt Sinner. I forget everybody in it, but I think some more Primal Fear guys.
Sweet.
And David Redman was a vocalist from Pink Cream 69, was on vocals.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically Voodoo Circle with Jorn. But they're not calling it Voodoo Circle, they're calling it Jorn.
Oh, no.
Jorn just said, I need some mates to play with, right?
Exactly.
So.
Yeah, Matt Sinner.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Alex Reinholdt. Is that how you say it?
Alex Bayrot.
Bayrot.
And Alessandro Del Vecchio. Yeah, Francesco Giovino. And Herbie Langhans.
Langhans. But he's from the Upper East Side.
Exactly.
So this Alessandro Del Vecchio, that dude is, I guess, really entrenched with the Frontiers guys. Because he's picked to do a lot of these like project-type things.
Oh.
Where he's like, hey, like, write some music and, like, pick some people to play it, right?
Exactly.
So he'll pick, like, just for instance, I'm not sure if he was involved on this. I'm pulling shit out of my ass. But, say, like, Revolution Saints. So Revolution Saints, who's that? Do you know who that is?
I don't remember, to be honest.
Jack Blades, Night Ranger.
Oh, yeah.
Doug Aldrich, Dead Daisies, former White Snake, Dio.
Mm-hmm.
Lion, Hurricane,
Dean Castronovo.
For those that don't mention it anymore,
Doug Aldrich.
Yeah, and then Dean Castronovo from Journey.
Fuck yeah.
In Bad English. And so they got the same. But I don't believe, not on the first record, because I went back and looked and you could hear it and you're like, eh. It's a little sugar coated. So if memory serves, I don't know if he wrote the music, but somebody in the, I guess, Frontiers clique basically said, hey, write some tunes.
Right.
We'll find some people to play it. We'll sell tons, Jerry. Tons.
We're going to be rich.
No shit. But that's what they do, where they bring all these big names in. They're like, okay, let's start and play some music, right? I think it would be a better deal for me as a fan to say, you guys write something. If you're all going to get in a room and say, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
Let's not just like, I'm going to go to my bedroom and record something and send that file over to Italy so this guy mixes it.
You figure if they're that good a writer, then maybe... I guess you can be a great songwriter, but not necessarily be much of a musician.
Right.
I was going to say, if you're already a great songwriter, just be your own, make your own band. Why
well,
do
he
that
does.
And then hand it off to somebody else?
This Alessandro Del Vecchio does.
So he stays in the band that he writes with.
I think he's hooked up with these Frontiers guys to do all these special projects.
Kind of like his sort of band, unofficially, obviously, and then it's all these other members from different places rotating in.
But I think him and some other select guys write towards music they love in the 80s and then try to grab those guys and say, hey, we wrote this for you in the vein of what we would like to hear. Here you go.
And then Jorn comes in and says, I will do it.
But I think, no, in Jorn's case, I think Jorn, he knew Matt Sinner. He kind of gives the background with the whole Voodoo Circle alignment there.
It's just a Primal Fear seems to, when you look at the logo for the band on the drums there, you see it's like a big angry looking crow.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised Jorn hasn't come in to go, wait a minute, it's mine.
It's my crow.
All crows. I've co-opted all crows. I've trademarked them all. Because the last one was with Biker Crow. Is that?
Yeah.
I love
before
this album.
That, remember the jukebox one where the crow was like mixing records, spinning records?
I fucking love his album cover. Every time he tells me, he's like, dude, you always got a new album. I'm like, I got to go see the album. I just want to see the cover.
What's the crow up
What's
to?
The crow doing now? Now he's a fucking hot dog vendor at the... It's just, he's always somewhere, dude. Investment banker crow.
And he looks very stiff. Very stiff, man. He's like, I've got the rheumatism, right?
That's right. My doctor said I needed a different job.
Well, dude, let's get some beer going, Holmes.
For real.
We're going to do something nice, kind of neat tonight. I want to go into a little bit of my vacation and talk about a few things that happened. I guess we could do that tonight.
Yeah.
A little bit, and then maybe hit some...
What we did for our summer vacation?
Yeah, yeah.
I want the people to know that they still have 2 out of 3 branches of the government working for them, and that ain't bad.
The right to rock.
Get your essay pads out.
So our anyway, big chief tablet on.
Part of the beer tasting tonight, beers, plural, of the show tonight, we're doing a little bit of a flight thing. And Genghis can kind of explain to you what happened. But before he does, let's talk about this first beer so I can start drinking. I'm parched.
Just a very quick rundown. I think I mentioned it on one of the last shows. Is that I have a conference for work, my actual real day job, and it took me to San Diego this year. And so while I was there, I mean, we a lot of people that they come from all over the world, actually, not just the country, but mostly the country, the United States, and they all come because they all use the same software for their business. And a lot of them are beer lovers. I mean, nice. Craft beer's taken off, so yeah, there's a lot of beer aficionados. So one of these guys there, they organize a craft beer trade. So what they say is, you know, everyone is coming from different parts of the country. Wherever you're from, your local breweries bring your best sort of beers with you, and we'll trade them with other people so that you can get a hold of beers that you probably wouldn't normally be able to get a hold of.
Sweet.
And so I'm like, hello, Three Floyds, or any of the other awesome like White Whale beers we haven't been able to find. But those rarely come into play. But still, you get a nice, interesting...
Yeah.
Because there's so many breweries, man. It's ridiculous.
Oh, hell yeah, it's crazy.
This one that we're starting off with, this is from Papago Brewing, I think it's called.
Where are they out of?
They're out of Arizona. And so this one here is the Orange Blossom. It's the Mandarin Wheat.
Nice.
And
sounds awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It looks fucking delicious. It's a, you know, fruit beer, I guess you'd call it, about 5% ABV. The notes say it's our most popular beer. It's a light American wheat ale flavored with mandarin orange and vanilla.
Nice.
Like a liquid old-fashioned creamsicle.
Fuck yeah.
So I'm all about it. So,
dude, I'm dying.
Yeah, let's just get on with this. Of course, the can, oh, yeah. You know, the label is pretty straightforward.
Yeah, it's intriguing. I would pick that up.
Yeah, it's attractive. It's got a nice sort of stylish label on the appearance here. Very light color.
Oh, yeah. Looks like a good summer type beer.
Like a straw beer, yeah. Very light. I mean,
it's a pretty beer bottle.
Doesn't have a lot of lacing. Very sudsy lacing. Just drips right off. So give that maybe, what, three? Three and a half?
Yeah, maybe a three on the appearance.
All right, let's get the aroma.
Don't smell much.
Yeah, no. Yeah. No,
you expect it's a wheat beer?
You're not getting a strong scent of the orange or the vanilla.
No, nothing.
So maybe a three on that.
I'd give it a 2.5.
2.5 sounds good to me.
I don't smell hardly anything unless I don't think I'm stopped out.
That's all right. Let's give it a shot. Let's dunk into this baby.
Cheers. Ooh, that is good.
Yeah, that's nice.
Now this is 3.5 on the taste.
Oh, yeah.
Easy.
For sure. I think if it were colder, I think it might be a little tastier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think some beers, they say most beers, you want them at around 50 or 60 or whatever. But there's some beers that benefit. Obviously, the very mass-produced beers taste better really cold. Nice clean mouthfeel. And it's, yeah. So I'd give that
very,
a
very
three,
good
three
summer,
and a
half. Summer beer.
Definitely, yeah. I could see this, mowing. You're mowing the lawn. You come in, hot days, like, grab me a cold one
this
of these.
This would be perfect.
It'd be delicious, man.
Oh, hell yeah.
So overall, I'd give this guy maybe a solid 3.
Yeah, solid 3. Yeah,
that'll work.
I dig.
Sweet. Let's get into this, and we'll try some of the others that I brought. I brought me a good half dozen, maybe 8 or 9 beers, actually, from back from the old trip. So
nice.
Be nice to check them out.
Could you check me on this? Am I losing my mind? I don't understand what this has to do with anything.
The right to rock.
Well, you want to play something out of the beer here?
Out of the Silent Planet?
Yeah, man. Anything floating your boat over here?
Digging the new Lynch Mob, so...
Love the new Lynch Mob. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, we got to play something off of that one.
Okay, let's... they get the brand new record called The Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
Just recently coming out on Frontiers.
Yeah.
And I got to say, for the first time in a long time, I was just really excited to... listen to a record.
Yeah.
So as soon as I got it, I'm like, I'll put that bitch in now.
And wasn't, I'm trying to think, it seemed like the last one before this was pretty special too.
Yeah, it was.
Is
very
it because
good.
It Rebel. Was the first one that had been in a while? And then it also turned out to be really good. Is that why it seemed better than usual?
Well, I think the last three records have been very strong.
Pretty solid, okay.
Yeah, I think it was Smoke and Mirrors, Rebel, and then now The Brotherhood. Yeah, I've liked... I don't know. I'm still so jonesy even after that show we saw a year or so.
Yeah. That's why it's going to be nice to see him again real soon, and we'll be digging that.
Pretty excited about that.
For sure.
What do you want to pick off the new record?
I don't know. I kind of like the Mr. Jekyll and Hyde. Don't you dig that one?
Yeah, that's a good song.
Let's do that. This video does look badass, dude.
It looks great, man.
Yeah.
It's shot so well.
And again, being in the screening room, it's like you feel like you're there at the fucking concert.
He looks just like Halford. Now.
He just did the scream, too. Like,
He didn't have the cape. He didn't have the Nostradamus outfit.
No shit, the big fucking crazy.
He does that. Okay, I'll agree with the total priest ripoff. Right?
Or he comes on stage with a bike. No like, shit. The fuck? Or he starts doing the metal god walk homes.
That would be awesome.
Just for no reason.
Tell us a little bit, we'll go into your trip a little bit. Anything you can mention metal-wise / beer-wise that stood out on your little thing? Yours was a working thing. Mine was a vacation thing. So,
well, I have to say, here's the first thing that already, this will give you a hint as to how things went generally speaking. On the plane ride over there, about halfway through, I felt the tickle and the scratch in the back of the throat. By the time we landed, full-blown strep throat. Yay! This motherfucker. I'm about to hit the switch. Done. I'm so glad that Tommy got that switch working.
No shit, even in the screening room we had.
And I see it fogging up in there now, the silly son of a bitch. Why couldn't have that booth been destroyed in the flood?
No shit.
No, anyway, yeah, so I was sick.
I was sick
most of the time.
That sucks.
I mean, I wanted to go to Stone.
Yeah.
And I'll say this. Here's another thing interesting. Never used Uber before because I just hate the company. And that's actually better than Lyft. I mean, I hate both of them. Fuck those companies. But I was forced to use that because I knew taxis would be outrageous. So I said, fuck it, I'll give it a try. Because when I went down to the hotel room, I was like, how do I get to... Because I had to call in a prescription. And the only one was across the river there to the island.
Back to the island?
No, it was like Coronado Island or whatever it is. It's across the little bay there. I need to get back to the island. No, I needed to get over there. And I'm like, and I figured, I asked the lady at the front desk, I'm like, so what did she goes? She's kind of like, I was in her way. Like, get out of here. And it was kind of like,
you're bothering me.
You just need to use Uber. And then she just kind of like walked off like, fuck off. And I'm like, you fucking bitch. So I'm like, all right, fine. So I downloaded the app and I looked at it and they're like, we'll take you over there, all the way over there and take you back. And it was like $7. I'm like, fucking A, that's excellent. I was like, all right, I'll give it a shot. And it turned out to be convenient as fuck. And yeah, I know people who've been using Uber forever are like, yeah, no duh. Why do you think we use it? It's like, but I don't even want to get into it. But the whole thing is like, I can't stand their business plan. And I think they're just assholes the way they treat everything. So I don't want to like Uber. I didn't want to use Uber. But I admit that when I did, because I had to, it was convenient as fuck.
Oh, yeah. We did it last year. We went to the Houston Open Air, the middle munch and I.
Yeah.
His wifey had something dealing with a personal issue with the family.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, I don't like to drive late at night. So we had a rendezvous.
I don't want
to
drive. She turned into Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, shit. So anyway, I said, fuck it, man. We don't have a ride. So let's Uber it to this thing. I'd never done it before. Yeah, $20 down to the dome from Pearland.
No shit.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
$20 back.
That's not bad.
The Munch and I, we went to the show, and then when Wifey got back to rendezvous point, we just hit the Uber and went back.
Nice.
It just sucks. We had to leave during, Alice in Chains or something.
Ah, that does suck.
And they were really good that night.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so.
So, I did that, got my prescription. Basically, I was in my hotel room a lot of the time just because I just felt horrible. Anyway, the deal is I did try a couple of cool little restaurants, and that was nice. They had some, of course, they have great seafood in San Diego, so nice, I enjoyed the shit out of that.
Crap beers, and they have pretty good beers. Well, you're not drinking, you're on antibiotics, right?
That's the problem is you can't drink. You're not supposed to drink alcohol on antibiotics. So I was like, fuck. So I couldn't because I wanted to go to Stone and check them out and do all kinds of shit. But I did go to the Beer Trade. And everyone was really cool. Everyone was, you know, all impressed with my beers. But, you know, I think they had some exotic beers out there. Because what it is a lot of people, apparently, pale ales are really popular. And IPAs, of course, everybody knows that, including double IPAs. And so a lot of the people who brought stuff, that's what they brought. There was a lot of pale ales and IPAs of different stripes, different flavors. We're about to kick out one right now. You know, for the most part, I'm like, kind of bored. You know, it's like they just got cans of pale ale. I'm like, well, I can get this at home, so why do I care? But every now and then you get some nice stuff. Like, there's stuff flavored with passion fruit and coriander and interesting stuff. So I thought just for that factor it would be interesting. But it's what's really cool about it that I like the most is that this every year that this craft beer trade goes on, I think it's only been going 2 or 3 years now, it gets bigger and bigger every time. And every time we're doing it, there's a group of us standing out in some area of the hotel somewhere, and just people walk by, and you see their necks like going, like their rubberneck and going, what's this over here? And people will walk up and just watch us because we do lottery style, right? We all draw lots and go, okay, whoever's got a one or a five or whatever, you know, now you can go ahead and take your pick. And we each get to pick a beer. We just go in rounds like that till we just basically use up all the beers. And so, you know, doing that, you know, I managed to, wow, this looks interesting. Doing that, I managed to get pretty nice little group of beers together.
Rubberneck.
Even though they're, you know, cans, I mean, I still, in a couple of bottles, I think I got some pretty good stuff. This one, in fact, we're excited about our second beer we're going to try here.
Certainly.
This one is called Scary Jesus Rockstar from the Dark Horse Brewery, which looks pretty cool.
A four for the label already.
Yeah, it's got like a little drawing of Jesus, of course, but he's got like he's doing the horns up and stuff.
Nice,
like he's a badass rock star. The Dark Horse Brewing Company, by the way, is out of Marshall, Michigan, and this is about a 6.5 ABV. It's an American pale ale. It's like I said, a lot of these, I guess, they must be popular with the craft breweries these days. And let me read the notes. Pale ale brewed with plentiful amounts of apricots and chamomile.
Holy shit, nice.
Yeah, collaboration beer with Chef Cletus Friedman of City Provisions. So,
Cletus.
Yeah, so, you know, a local kind of gourmet kind of restaurant, or probably, what do you call it? What's the word for that they call for that? It's not gourmet, but artisan, you know, beer. You know, restaurant or some bullshit. Like, we've got those here, like Underbelly and
places. Yeah.
So you got the local,
artsy,
you know,
artsy.
Yeah, artsy fartsy kind of joints where they're cooking funky foods, kind of like those gastropubs and shit. And they collaborate with a recipe with one of the local breweries, and that's what this is. So I'm kind of excited about it. The label looks hilarious with the little hand drawn artwork.
Awesome.
And let's just jump right into it. I mean, wow, this thing's cloudy as shit. I mean, look at that, dude.
Yeah, I want to...
It almost looks like apple juice or something.
Real quick, I want to bring something up, but just because this beer reminds me of one I just had.
Yeah?
That's a sweet side here.
Oh, yeah? For Parrish?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like when they do the video, yeah.
You got the live little feed.
Yeah, it's like a Squarespace does that. It looks cool. Yeah, we're really fans of the Parrish, right? Especially their Neapolitan, which they had to change the name of, right?
Yes. Oh, what a great beer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's got to be the one. It's this one here. It's called the Nova Vert.
Oh.
And I had this actually at dinner last night in Louisiana. It's a Louisiana IPA.
Brewery, yeah.
And this one is, they call it a creamy and rich IPA. Not nice. Too hoppy, not about IBUs. This is this IPA is neither East nor West Coast. This is New School. And this, the way this beer looks very similar. It's so cloudy. It's like, God, I don't know if I should drink this.
Yeah, like, what's this going to taste like? But, yeah, I mean, look at that. Oh, you know what? It's like a Guinness where the bubbles keep doing that funky thing like they're going in reverse. It's weird, man. That's cool. So I think maybe on the appearance, what, like a 3, 3.5? I'm intrigued by it. It's weird, but I like it.
Yeah, I give it a 3. Yeah. Just for the different look.
And then on the aroma? It smells nice.
Yeah, it does.
It smells inviting.
Sure. Cheers.
Smelling the fruits. Let's dig it. Let's go into it. Oh, wow.
Wow, that's...
It's different, but it's good.
Oh, God, I like it.
Yeah.
It tastes nutmeg or something.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like the mix of stuff is making you go, what the fuck? But
it's like a pumpkin beer without the pumpkin.
Yeah, but it's not a bad thing.
I mean, am I right?
Yeah, kind of like that. That kind of weird, funky, earthy taste.
It's almost like a seasonal, like a holiday, like festive type beer.
That is wild.
Much better.
Well, what's nice is I think it's the apricots give it a sweetness. Yeah. So it kind of like mellows out what would ordinarily be. Imagine if you just had a chamomile beer. That would be weird. But the apricots kind of smooth that out, I think. So it doesn't taste so herby and flowery and you're eating grass or something.
When you take a drink, it smells like a cookie.
Yeah. It smells sweet. So you think it's going to be a sweet beer.
This is good. I dig.
Yeah, yeah. I like that it's exotic, but it tastes good. A lot of the exotic beers taste kind of fucked up. But this one tastes good.
Oh, dude. Home run. Nice.
I'm going to give a 4 on the taste.
So we're doing a flight. This one's currently in the lead.
Big time. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, fuck, it's good.
I was excited when I saw the label. I was like, I think Paisan's going to dig this.
Yeah, I saw the label.
We're going to be about this.
I don't even
know
what kind of beer it is. We just have to drink it. And I got a weird one. And I'll tell you about my journey, too. Mm-hmm. That's in the fridge here, too, that we'll have a little bit later.
Cool. All right.
So, you're sitting there jerking off in the hotel room when you're not working.
So there I was.
Pants to my ankles.
Sitting in a big easy chair in front of the window. Jerking off while I watch the city of San Diego. While I'm facing, I don't know what they call their stadium, where the Padres play.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I could see it from my window.
It's called the... the fuck is a Padre anyway?
It's a friar, a monk. The Padres.
Is that what they're called?
Yeah, San Diego Padres. No, that's their mascot. They go like a little, he's like a little Padre in his little round habit, and he's like going with the bat, knocking the ball. I wanted to get a hat.
Oh, did they?
I love their little logo. Huh? Yeah, I wanted to go. That's the thing. I had all these plans. Like, I'm going to go catch a game. I'll see how get a fucking big old dog and be chilling with a beer at the fucking stadium watching a game.
You've been sending me pics like I sent you pics on my trip.
But then I got sick and I couldn't do dick. I was so pissed
that
off.
Sucks, Dave.
Yeah.
How long were you there? 5 days?
Yeah, because I got there Saturday, and I was there till Thursday.
They let you fuck off on Saturday, Sunday?
Well, you get there Saturday. There's really not a whole lot going on. There's a lot of pre-shit.
Sure.
I mean, the thing officially kicks off, like, Monday morning.
Yeah, that's
but,
the thing.
But Sunday, there are some things. But, you know, they get repeated later on in the week anyway, so you don't really have to go to them if you don't want to.
Could you finagle's like, boss, they want me to stay till Saturday. No, Sunday.
Well, they say, I mean, if you want to stay, you can go ahead and get keep the room for an extra day or two. That's up to you. And I'm like, yeah, but that hotel was going to cost like fucking $200 a night.
It's on your dime at that point.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. They're not going to let you. So I was like, fuck, if I'm paying for anything. Yeah, that's the logo.
That's the old school
He's just going Yeah, he's old school, right?
Okay. Yeah, I didn't remember.
Yeah, that's like the old school logo. I like to see. I love that dude. But here's the other one. I like that one. That's the classic.
Yeah, that's cool.
But he's just like a little fire going, chunk. This one's for the big guy.
Oh, nice.
So I thought it'd be cool to go check out a game.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen.
Well, when the Munch and I went to L.A. earlier in the year, yeah, we caught a Lakers game. That was pretty cool.
Oh, nice. Cool. Yeah. Got to sit next to Jack Nicholson and be like...
with Big Jack. Hey. Like, how you doing? Hey. Everybody sounds like Dice.
That's weird. We do shitty impressions. Who knew that?
I don't understand. Yeah, you should have fucking nutted up and done something.
I know, just ghosts, just sick as fuck. Then you hear like everywhere. An epidemic happens in the city. Thousands submitted to hospitals.
No shit. Dickhead from Texas. Texas doesn't take precautions.
They got me on the camera, the close circuit feed, just like, looking like a dickhead. But anyway, so that was
a great beer.
That was my trip. Yeah, I'm really digging this beer. I know this one went really well. And the thing is, yeah, see, you say that, and yet it's like it's not so much sweet.
Yeah,
it feels sweet at first, and then you get that chamomile aftertaste.
Like a Fig Newton or something.
It's funky, yeah.
Drinking a Fig Newton.
It makes it sound sweet, but it's really not that sweet, Rob.
I like it. I like it a lot.
I'm digging it though. Yeah, I'm if I ever see this again, I'll pick it up. Scary Jesus Rockstar. Keep a lookout for it if you guys are anywhere in Michigan listening to it. You probably already know, I guess. But if you ever see it in your local store, check it out.
I'm not even going to dignify myself with a response to that.
The Right to Rock.
So, anyway, dude... what about metal? Anything metal about your trip? Did you bring a cool playlist or, you know, were you jamming anything particularly you'd like to play real quick? And then we'll go into my trip.
What was I playing on the way there? I had my my Walkman. I always got my Walkman. That's how old I am. I always call my iPod. But it was loaded up with all my shit. And what was I jamming to? I was trying to jam to some different shit than I normally listen to. I'm trying to think what I listen to.
Erasure.
Depeche Mode.
Talk.
People are people, so what should it be?
And, John.
Yeah.
What's on your playlist on your little iPod over there?
Buddy.
Just curious, man. We're talking playlists and stuff. I see you just came back in the booth, so you're coming in a little bit late. But, you know, a lot of people have written in wanting to know what you listen to. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure, dude.
Well, good for you. You're flattered. So, can you tell us something?
I'm a dick.
Look, just serious.
Just forget I asked, okay?
Let me get it out. That's the Biebs.
The Biebs. Justin Bieber?
Is that Bieber?
Yeah, oh,
it's funny. Nothing, I just didn't know you were into Bieber.
The Biebs.
I call him the Biebs.
Of course.
Okay, cool.
Got no old school erasure.
Wow, that's shocking.
What's that supposed to mean?
No, nothing. I just, you got some old school stuff.
Taken by surprise.
Yeah, it's cool. You know, I'm just saying that, good for you.
Metallica, the Megadeth, Anthrax, Exodus, Kazakugo, Village People,
Right Said Fred.
Is that Village People? Okay, enough of your playlist. Hey, just go back to do what you do.
Whatever that is.
We don't know. So anyway, so you want to play something you were jamming to, or you're like all in golf with San Diego Padres? He's like, how many games do you watch this year? None. I just like the jerseys.
I do.
Cool.
I mean, I got like fucking 5 or 8 Astros shirts. Was the last time I went to a fucking game. I can represent without fucking going.
Sure.
Actually, tonight was my job. It was great. That night at the game to go see the Astros tonight. Yeah. Well, no, we paid for the tickets, but they had some tickets left over, Lee came in and he's like, I got to take a left. If anyone wants it, I'm like, I got a thing I'm doing with some dickhead.
Plus one, Holmes.
That's right. Plus one.
Dude, we skipped the circle. I kind of wanted to see the circle tonight.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I forgot you said.
We'll talk about that little thing that I did, too. But I want to talk to you about that arena. I'm not real... I mean, we can
not too impressed with it.
Time, or should we do the trip? Well, maybe we do a whole vacation recap real quick, right?
Yeah, you can knock it out.
Short. I ain't much to say.
I figured. Thank God.
Bit of shit. So anyway, you never play a song. Play a song. What do you want to play? Do we have the new thing?
Obviously, Symphony of Terror by Jack Panzer.
Obviously. I like Jack Panzer.
Yeah, I know.
It's been a while since I listened to him, but sure, I'm down. Let's do it. I love when they shot this video. All these pricks have their fucking phones up, fucking up the video.
That's all you see now.
It's like, we wanted to have a real live feel, right?
I know, you really feel like you're there because you can't see the band. Because
all these pricks for the phones fucking in the thing air. In front of
him. Homeboy's like rocking his little white bass, dude.
Yeah, he's got his skull jeans on. Nobody will fuck with me with my skull jeans on.
Now here's,
I'll promise you that.
Now here's something I do gotta say. Most of the time these days, when you go to a concert, especially the real guitarists that are like, they're known for being, I'm a ripper, I'm a shredder, I'm a badass. They're changing guitars like every fucking song.
Yeah.
These dudes, same guitars the entire fucking show. They haven't changed nothing.
Why? I mean, what's the point?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, is this an example of old school? Like, why should I need any more fucking guitars? I got one right here. Let's do this.
We got our Les Pauls, and they play fine.
Exactly.
The one dude is left-handed.
Kinda, yeah, exactly. Homeboy on his little fucking custom Les Paul. He's a Southpaw Holmes.
Strung backwards for a motherfucking jeans.
Dude, this beer is the shit, dude.
Dude, I'm kind of savoring
it. I know. The more I'm drinking it, the more I'm digging it.
Yeah, I don't want it to end. Anyway, myself, the Munch, Wifey, and the
parental units, Holmes?
Parental units. We made a journey over to Europa.
What am I saying? I already had too much beer. Every year you make a trip to Europe.
Somewhere.
Basically. I mean, that's true. It used to just be Europe, and then you started expanding.
Yeah. Yeah, we broke out. We did a little bit of a thing. We went to Italy. We were in a car. We had five of us in a fucking car. Forget about it.
Those little fucking, like the little tiny European vacation car?
No, it was actually a pretty nice size.
Me and my family were looking for sex.
I got to tell you, you get these cars over there, right? If you get a big car, you're like, if you're an American, you're freaking the fuck out because everything's so small.
Right. You're on the road like, oh my God, we're not going to fit any. Oh, like, yeah. You think someone's going to run you off the road.
It's mainly parking where you're really like, really? So we did Italy, we did Switzerland, we did Austria, Germany, Slovenia, and Croatia.
Slovenia, you know who's from Slovenia?
Who's that?
Melania Trump, Holmes.
That's right. There was a thing about her in like the paper. I couldn't read it. For some reason, it's a different language.
She's busting Donald Trump's ass, and he's like, come on, Jazz.
Give me my balls in the
propophylactics cost money.
So, we did the thing, and then speaking of playlist, I specifically was in charge of music because no one else cared. And I didn't want to
fucking with the radio station.
Well, I didn't want to fuck with that. I was like, I'm going to get. I had an old iPod. And I said, this
plugged
iPod,
it into the car.
I'm putting stuff that everybody would enjoy. So I had to make a
universal travel playlist.
Pretty much.
Wow.
So a lot of classical.
A lot of Perry Como for your parents.
Pretty much. my dad. You know, he fucking loves Foreigner.
Oh shit.
He's the biggest Foreigner guy.
That's cool.
But the Foreigner he knows, and my dad's 75 years old. The Foreigner he knows is fucking Kelly Hansen on vocals. What? Billy Graham.
What?
Yeah, I'm playing this old Foreigner, and it's like...
Who's this asshole?
Yeah, it's like the Lou Graham stuff. He's like, oh, that Kelly Hansen's got a hell of a voice. I'm like, Dad, that's Lou Graham. Who's he?
Who's that fuck?
He's just the guy that made all these songs popular.
Yeah. Kelly is all the stuff you know as Foreigner is basically Lou Graham. Urgent.
So, Foreigner, Bob Seger. Not a huge Bob Seger guy. I like some of this stuff.
Right.
Doobie Brothers. Had to put in some Yes for myself.
Be taking it to the streets, Holmes.
Yeah, we had that on there.
That's the classic.
In Blackwater.
Okay, we'll start singing on it.
That
was a good song.
Part of that song that was like, I don't know, honky tonk or some bullshit.
Oh shit!
Yeah, when they're at the in that one little part where it's just them singing, there's no music. Remember that? Let's just play it.
Oh yeah. All
right.
Just a quick little clip of it, so they'll know what you mean.
I'd like to hear some funky Dixieland. Pretty mama, come and take me by the hand.
Take me by the hand. Pretty mama, come and dance with your daddy all night long.
I'd like to hear some funky Dixieland. Pretty mama.
So that part.
That part we couldn't think of. Had to be edited in after the fact.
Exactly. But I was like, I don't want to sing that part.
It's your dad's like, come on, son, do it. And he won't stop for 10 exactly. minutes. Like, fine.
So I put in some Prince for the wife.
There you go.
A little bit of Water Boys. The Metal Munchkin wanted, what does she want? Fucking some Drake?
Drake?
Rap shit?
Yeah. The singer dude, Drake.
One song, Sam Smith?
Sam Smith, okay.
For my mom.
Uh-huh.
And the rest was, well, I put in a bunch of parts.
The rest is all Tammy Wynette.
Tammy Wynette. let's see. Wifey wanted Bonnie Tyler.
Total Eclipse of the Heart, because the eclipse was happening. Well, so everyone was tripping.
Every time I hear that, I think of what is that? What was it? Was it Old School? The Dan Band? Like, I see that fucking look in your eye.
Is that when that movie was? Yeah. I always remember that dude whenever I hear that shit. I always thought it was Wedding Singer.
No. It was.
He said. You say fuck it every other word.
Old school.
That shit was hilarious.
The same band was in Wedding Crashers, too.
Okay.
It's awesome. You get the same odd looks when you start cussing. It's awesome. We had some Boston. I was digging the Boston.
Yeah.
And the Yes, of course. I said Yes.
I was jamming to some Boston earlier this week.
Had some Thin Lizzy. A lot of ZZ Top.
Nice.
Some Government Mule. My dad hated Government Mule.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he loved it.
He goes, what is this shit?
Fuck this bullshit.
Turn this off. This is the worst music ever.
Damn.
Had some Zeppelin, Pink Floyd. He wasn't digging that either.
What?
Yes.
The classics.
He goes, they had a couple songs were okay.
They'll never amount to anything.
That's why they're just one of the biggest rock bands of all time.
I know. Those hippies will never amount to anything. He's like, whatever, Dad.
They're losers.
Why do I want to hear a bunch of European faggots? You're like, Dad, cut it out.
So that's what we heard. I mean, I didn't have any metals per se, but I had a pretty good eclectic mix of classic rock.
The shit that everybody in the car liked. Wow, you really put some thought into it.
Yeah,
that's cool. That's cool.
My dad hated the fuck. Well, ZZ Top, he likes Tush and LaGrange, and that's it.
He likes all the dirtiest shit. Like, because when you said Prince.
About pussy rash.
I thought you were going to talk about Prince. I was like, oh no, you're going to do some crazy shit.
My mom's screaming Little Red Corvette from the backseat. I'm like, Mom, how do you know this song? You know what this song's about, Ma? Interesting thing, though. We flew into Milan, got a car, and if you guys have checked the site, you know what's coming here. So anyway, we get there. It's kind of late. Everybody's like retired to the hotel, and me and the Metal Munch are like, let's go explore.
Yeah, like I'm bored. Let's do shit.
Let's see what we can get into. So we like to go like stores and get drinks and whatever. I like to get beers because, of course, I bring back import beers from Europe.
Of course.
And we're sitting there, and there's this dude in the bar with long hair. I'm like, I know he's somebody.
Right,
I know that
and
dude.
It's Europe, so he's got to be a fucking metal dude.
And I kind of knew this band was playing Milan. Anyway, I'm like, I think I see Dave Elfson in the bar. And I'm like, there's no fucking way Megadeth is staying at the same hotel we're staying at. There's no way. So anyway, I get out of he's just at the bar by himself, like playing on his phone or computer or something, and I'm like, oh well. So I'm walking down the street, and I look at the Metal Munchie, I said, okay, that guy that we just saw in the hotel bar, I looked, I got on the browser, and I said, is it this dude? You think that's him? She goes, Daddy, I think that's him. I go, okay, we'll go run our errands. If he's still in there, I'm going to go talk to him. We come back. Of course, he's gone and stuff. So, anyway, the next morning we get up. We go to breakfast. Same dude, but his hair is pulled back. He's eating breakfast like two tables away from us by himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I told Faith, I said, I know that's a guy from Megadeth. I know it's Dave Elfson.
Is he wearing the big Bono, like, fly-eye sunglasses?
The chips enough. Glasses,
crazy ass psychedelic glasses.
So I'm like, I don't care. Whatever. I mean, I'm a fan. How many opportunities do you get to meet somebody from Megadeth? So I walk over and I said, "Hey, excuse me." He goes, "Yeah. What's going on, man?" And I was like, "I'm sorry to bother you. I know you're eating breakfast and stuff."
And yet you're bothering me.
Are you? You're Dave Elfson, right? And he goes,
"You are correct, sir."
Yes. So anyway, we got to meet him, take some pictures. Dave was so fucking cool. Very, very nice guy. Very nice guy. So I said, where's the rest of the band? He goes, they're lollygagging upstairs. And we got in last night late. And, everybody's, make their way down later. It's like, awesome, man. I was like, well, I want to go to the show. I don't think the wife's going to be cool. Then we got an early day tomorrow. But, man, very cool meeting you, man. And just saw you in Houston recently with Tesseract. And great show in Meshuggah. Gonna see you with Scorpions. And, just be cordial, nice.
That was a killer fucking show, by the way. Which I'm sure we already mentioned, but yeah, it was fucking great.
I don't know if we've talked about it.
One of the best shows this year. Too, yeah. When we get to the Kicks and Kisses this year, definitely that's in there.
Fuck yeah. So, anyway, finish breakfast, go upstairs, do our thing. And I had to go downstairs and ask the concierge something. It was about our day or whatever. So we go back down, and I grabbed the munchkin. I said, let's just go in and just see if we see anybody else. I go, I've interviewed Kiko Loureiro before. He's a guitar player.
Uh-huh.
And, man, if I saw Mustaine, how fucking cool would that be, right?
Uh-huh.
So, lo and behold, I see Matt Hafey.
Oh, cool.
But I didn't snap. I was like, I know that dude, too. But he cut his hair short, so.
No, it's like, I think I bought a bong from him back in the day.
So I feel like a dumbass for not going to talk to Hefe, but anyway, we go in, I find Elfson, and I think to myself, I'm like, you know what? I've got an opportunity. Probably never have this opportunity again. I'm going to ask Elfson if he'll do a little video for our thing. He was a little reluctant at first. I said, man, I'm so sorry to keep bothering you, man. Just the opportunity's here, man. I'll never probably meet you again, but if you could, it'd be awesome. He said, man, no problem. Coolest motherfucker, really. He was real complimentary to the Metal Munchkin. She got all excited, and anyway, he said, "Hey, dude, Kiko's over there eating breakfast. Go fuck with him. Leave me alone." Good point. And I said, "Oh, dude, thanks, man." So
tell him I said it's okay to bother him.
I see Kiko, the poor guy's eating, and I'm like, man, I feel like a dick. I really feel like a dick here. But
mostly because you were eating some of his food, right?
Pretty much.
You just start down taking his hash browns. Like, what's up?
He's like, how you doing? So I said, fuck it. When am I going to meet Kiko again? So I went up to Kiko real quick. I said, Kiko, I don't know if you remember me. I met you in Houston. He goes, oh, yeah, I remember you, man. I go, hey, man, I'm so sorry to bother you during your breakfast, but you might have to get a little quick picture. And he said, man, no problem.
Can you give me a guitar lesson? I'm so sorry to bother you.
Let me go get me a guitar. So took a picture with Kiko. He said, hey, man, the trivia guys are over there.
Go bother them.
And I see Mustaine walking around. I'm like, and he looks fucking like he hates the world. But I looked at Kiko. I said, man, he doesn't look like he's in
What's
the
up his ass?
He goes, ah. He just kind of shrugged his shoulders.
He's like, I work here, motherfucker. I ain't going to talk shit about the boss.
I said, you know, do you think if I went up and said something to him, he'd let me take a picture? He goes, shrugged his shoulders. He's like, good luck, man. So I should have known better. So I go right up to Mustaine. And he pretends I'm not even there. Like, I'm just like a fart in the wind.
Wow.
Just ignores me. Wow. Out. And I got to tell you, I was little rubbed the wrong way.
It's another, like, Scott Ian moment or something.
Right.
But you know what I mean? Just basically, and I'm not saying that they're like this all the time, but it's a guy that you're really into, you've listened to for decades, you're a total fucking fan, which isn't to say I'm the greatest fan or any of that shit. You're just saying, look, I'm just a big fan. I'm finally seeing you, of all places here. What are the chances? And I'd like to say hi. Most of the time when you do get a chance to say hi to him, you're surrounded by a crowd of like 300 other people who are also trying to do that. So here it's like I kind of got you to myself. Not that I'm expecting to take you away from your private shit. That's your business. I get it. I'm not trying to invade your life. But at the same time, hey, buddy, can I say hi and tell you what a fan I am? But I guess maybe they're just like, look, dude, I don't get a lot of time to myself. And at a hotel, I'm not expecting to be, you know, surrounded by people asking me shit. That's for the VIP shit or something like that, you know, when you pay your price. I kind of get that. But at the same time, it's like, it takes 5 seconds to say hi to some dude in the hotel.
Take a picture. That's it.
That's it. So, I don't know. Who cares? And then maybe we catch him at the wrong time. Like, maybe something really bad happened on the phone talking to his wife. And it's like he's in a bad mood or something. And you come along. What are the chances? Yeah. I mean, I don't know. But it seems like it's happened with Scott Ian, one of the big guys. And then now fucking Dave, another one of the big guys.
Yeah.
All you need now is to meet, like, fucking James Hetfield and get the hat trick. Like, I've been shunned by all of my big fucking idols.
It was just weird. It was, I mean, for him not to acknowledge me. I mean, if he would have said, hey, man, now's not a good time, I would have said, no problem, and walked off. But for just to act like I wasn't there, that rubbed me the wrong way.
Right, I get it.
And then it kind of fucked up my day a little bit, and I said, well, you know what, fuck him. You know, everybody else was cool. You know, whatever. You know, I'm not going to stop liking Megadeth because...
Yeah, that's the thing. You just figure, oh, well, I'm not going to necessarily go up and try to fucking get a picture with him next time I see him.
Right. Real quick, and I'll drop this. So we leave. I'm kind of pissy, and I get over it. I mean, I'm in Europe having fun. Whatever. Fuck it. So, of course, the next morning we go down early because we're going to go see the Last Supper painting.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
Was it pretty badass? Awesome.
Yeah. Because
it's like, this is the thing. Not the one I see on plates at the flea market.
It's a real deal.
It's like, this is the thing. That's pretty cool. I'd love to see that.
It was cool. But we get up because we're leaving early. My folks, they're like, we're not going to go to that. So you do what you got to do. Anyway, so we get down there, and guess who's down there?
Dave.
Diamond Dave.
So you walk behind him and kick him in the ass and run.
And I'm wearing a Saxon shirt that day. Biff Byford did an interview with me in person, and I have pictures to prove it.
That's right. So guess whose shirt I'm wearing, asshole?
So I'm wearing my Crusader, the one that I got.
Oh, nice.
So were you with us? I got that one.
I think so.
Yeah, we saw...
With Hellstar?
No.
Or no, I'm thinking of the other guy.
Saxon UFO?
That's right, UFO.
Yeah. Saxon UFO. So.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm wearing that shirt, and I said I saw him, and I like, he shunned me yesterday, so I'm not even going to bother.
Fuck.
So anyway, the Metal Munchkin is at the omelet station. And Mustaine walks up where she's getting her omelet made. He goes,
yeah, it looks pretty good.
And she goes, thanks, man. Gets her omelet and leaves. I'm like, you're not going to, like, say anything like, hey, you're a total prick to my dad.
Man, and fuck you for that.
Fuck yourself. No, thanks, man. Thanks for nothing. So, that was my brush with metal on the road. Tell you what, let's play some Megadeth off Dystopia to show that I'm not a sore loser. and I don't have a bit of feelings about the band. How about a little bit of Fatal Illusion? No. Poison the Shadows. I like that better. Let's do that. So anyway, other than that, I mean, we did the roadie thing, had a good trip, a lot of fun. One thing, and I want to mention this, as far as, because our next beer is something I picked up overseas. What a crap movement there is in Europe. I was blown away.
I heard it's picking up real big over there.
Oh, dude, they're nuts with Austria, it. And we went to this brewery restaurant thing,
uh-huh.
And the food was fair, and the beer sucked.
Oh.
It was, I forget the name of it off the top of my head. But anyway, it was a brewery, like a brew pub restaurant type thing. They don't distribute or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they had one beer on draft. I said, what about your bock? He goes, it's not ready yet. I was like, are you Russian or something? Where are you from?
What's this accent for?
And, he goes, no, we only have this beer on draft now.
You drink.
Or nothing.
That's right. You drink or piss.
You drink. I was like, okay. So I drank it. It tastes like fucking water. Carbonated water.
Like, we tried to make it like your American beer. It tastes like piss. It's like, thanks.
Fuck you, American.
It's like total take.
So after that, I spotted like an Irish pub thing. And Wifey and I had been there a few years ago. And it's all right. But it's just traditional, like, Irish beers. I'm like, if I want an Irish beer, I'm going to go to Ireland. I talked to the guy, and I said, hey, do you know of any place around here where you can get some, you know, different beers? He's like, oh, yes. Go down over there, go there and there, and you'll find this craft beer bar. I think I took a picture and sent it to you. But it was a craft beer bar in Austria.
That's wild.
And they had all these different taps, all these beers I'd never heard of. Had a really nice little sign that was one of those animated signs, so it told you what was on draft, what's coming, and ABV style, the whole nine yards.
Badass.
So it was really nice, and the guy, I got to be friendly with the bar guy, mm-hmm. And he started giving me like samples and stuff, and he's like, hey, so can I try that?
Oh, okay, what? You got friendly with him?
Yeah, we got talking.
Yeah, sure, that's it.
Such an asshole. Can you let us fucking do our show without running your mouth?
Shit, man. You do this. Close your eyes and fulfill that fantasy and turn off your mic. And then we'll see you in a few minutes.
He's like, I'm way ahead of you.
Shit, he was already there. So anyway, the guy was pretty cool. He was giving me samples and stuff. So I was like, awesome. So anyway, in Austria, we went to it's like a little grocery store over there called Spar.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get like beers for like a euro. So like $1.25.
Nice.
For like these badass beers. So The next beer we're going to have is a beer I picked up at Spar. And it's IPA. Genghis, what we got?
What we got here is the Affenkönig, if I'm saying that right, which means translates as Monkey King.
Really?
He's the Monkey King, Holmes.
That's why there's a Monkey King.
Right, it's like a monkey with a little crown. He's like, how you doing? Exactly. So, yeah, this one is supposedly an American double, or Imperial IPA, rather, is what I meant to say. It's an 8.2% ABV.
Holy shit, it's like a double IPA.
Hi-yo! And I think it's supposed to have a little, like, kind of a grapefruit kind of note to it.
Oh, nice.
Citrus. So, yeah, nice and citrusy with a nice, you know, like I say, grapefruit, orange kind of thing going. So, I mean, I'm all about it. The label, let's start with, of course, looks amazing.
Oh, yeah.
It's got the great little illustration of a monkey with, like, the robes and then and a little scepter and the crown. Like, hey, what's up?
And it says Brewage.
Brewage. I think that's the name of the brewery, right?
Oh, is it?
I think it is. Brewage. Out of Austria.
So it's Austrian. Nice.
Yeah. So let's go jump right into it, man. I mean, it's got a beautiful kind of a honeyish color.
Yeah.
Lovely. Lacing, kind of a soapy lacing. I'd give that a 3.5.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Let's get that
very
aroma.
Inviting.
Oh, that's nice. Nice and citrusy.
I think my schnoz is out to lunch today.
Yeah, gabons.
Yeah, spell a little bit. Yeah.
It's all right. Yeah, let's go for it. I'd give that a 3.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Spicy. Mm. But I like it's got a nice sweetness to it.
Yeah.
That kind of helps balance out the spiciness
a little bit.
A little very peppery. But the sweetness kind of undercuts that, which is nice. I think otherwise it would just be almost like a Saison. Mm. Like a Saison DuPont.
Very bitter.
Yep.
I like it. It's different. And that's what I saw with some of the IPAs I had from a lot of Italian IPAs.
Really?
In this craft beer bar.
Oh, wow.
I was like, wow. Because I thought the guy had long hair and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he looked Italian. I said, "So you Italian?" He said, "No, I'm Belgian."
So fuck you.
He said, "Fuck you! Get the fuck out of my place now!"
How dare you call me Italian? It is the greatest.
Very cool place. I've got the name of it somewhere. I'll give them a plug. But very cool place.
I'd say like flavor. I'd say a 3.
Yeah, about 3. Yeah.
Now feel about a 3. Maybe a solid 3.
Solid 3. Yeah,
yeah, but it's good. I like it.
Be the last time we ever drink it.
No shit, because when else will we find the motherfucker?
I'm so broke, I'm not going back to Europe for another 3 or 4 years, bro.
No shit, dude. Times are tough, Holmes. See if we can cash in on some of that FEMA money. That's what we need to do.
That's getting hard.
Times.
Okay, what's that code for?
It's code for you're an asshole. Smartass.
So anyway, I had a great trip. I will mention this. Got some really good beers. Fell in love with a beer called Laško in Slovenia. There's one called Ozuško out of Croatia. Very, very good beer. We'll have those on the show at some point. And then I pulled some Italian craft beers.
Nice. So who would have thought that, you know, I mean, obviously it's everyone makes beer all over the world, but you never think of going, you got any good Croatian beers or Slovenian beers? Yeah. Well, so that's cool that they make a good one.
We went, we did a cruise a few years ago, and we stopped in Croatia, and that's when I found Ozuško. So as soon as I got to Croatia, I was like, I'm drinking the fuck out of it. I had a bunch, and one made it back.
Damn. So you did drink the fuck out of it.
It's a good beer. It's just a good... And that's one thing I've noticed, and I was telling Wifey this other day, we went to dinner. This place was like South African type restaurant type thing. You ever been to Peli Peli?
No, I think I heard of it, though. I think I know what you mean.
But they have a lot of the Baltikas, which is the Russian beer.
Oh, okay.
And then they had a Hofbräu Dunkel. And I told Wifey, I said, man, I'm kind of in a European beer mood. Uh-huh. Yeah,
she's like, the fuck are you even talking about?
Yeah, so good stuff. So anyway, that was my trip. Saw some great stuff. Too much for you guys. Probably don't give a fuck. We hadn't talked a lot of metal tonight, but we wanted to kind of catch up. I guess the biggest metal thing for me was, you know, definitely meeting some of the guys there in Megadeth. Having a brush with the guys with Trivium. I wish I would have talked to them. I think I really wanted to meet Mustaine, and after the Mustaine thing, I said, fuck it, let's get out of here.
Burnt out. Yeah, I don't want to talk to anybody.
Yeah, that shit, so.
You just want to run up to the hotel room and jump in the bed and cry, like, kick your legs?
No shit. Well, I do want to tell you this. One benefit, real benefit of meeting Elfson is got some information to where we're going to do a long-form interview with him. So something to look forward for you guys and for ourselves. We haven't done it yet, so get to talk to Dave Elfson. So looking forward to that. That'll be cool. Hopefully we can ask him some stuff that other people aren't asking. We get that quite often, that we ask the questions that everybody's scared to ask.
I like that, because I think that's our sort of trademark. All the shit that people know not to do, we do it.
Because
we're fucking assholes. That's right.
We got nothing to lose.
Couple of dickheads.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
No, but seriously, though, I mean, that's, you know, hey, it sucks that it turned out that way, but, you know, I mean, it's not the end of the world or anything. We, like I say, you may have caught him in a bad mood, but maybe next time you run into him, if you should, he'll be cooler. Who knows?
Right.
I like the idea that I envisioned in my head when you're talking about all this, like, oh, I know it's going to happen. He's going to get up there, and Dave is going to say, hey, come on back to the room. You know, I'll let you meet Mustaine. And I thought he's going to open the door, and Mustaine's sitting in the middle of the room in a wheelchair, just rocking and just knitting. Like knitting a big sweater. Hello, me. It's me again. No, but seriously, though, I think that's cool that you got to run into him. I'd never run into fucking anybody.
Well, yeah, it was just funny. I mean, because sometimes you see these guys on stage, you see them in magazines, you know, in video, you know, whatever. But, I mean, I wouldn't be obnoxious or anything like that. I was just like, hey, I just want a picture, you know, meet you and say, hey, I love your music. Leave you alone.
Just say, you owe me, motherfucker.
No shit. I pay for your kids to go to school.
That's right. That house, that fancy house you live in, asshole, I bought that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because who was it? It was somebody. So I'm joking because it's reminding me of that incident with Amy Schumer, who's a pain in the ass, but her thing was, if it's to be believed, she had that encounter where she was out jogging, and of course, you know, you don't look your best when you're all fucking sweaty and exercising, but some guy supposedly came up to her, him and his daughter, I think, he came up to her and said, holy shit, you're Amy Schumer, you know, I'd like to get your picture, and she was like, you know, thinking, I look like shit, dude, I really wish you wouldn't. So she kept saying, you know, if it's all right, I'd rather not, you know, just I'm not looking my best and I'd be kind of embarrassed, you know. And he said, you know, it's cool, blah, blah, blah. I kept saying all that and insisting. And finally, according to her, he finally ended up saying, look, you know, we own you. Really? If we want to take our picture with you, you owe us because we're your fans. We're the ones who get you paid, you know. And just kind of insistent, like, bitch, I want a picture and it's going to happen. And really? She was kind of like, this is all according to her. It's her side of the story.
Sure.
So, of course, you know, it wouldn't be surprising if she's coloring it to make her look better.
Sure.
But you know, by the same token, though, I'm not surprised that, you know, there are some people get crazy ideas.
Some people are pranks.
Yeah, they run into somebody they're fans of and they kind of go nuts. But anyway, supposedly something along the lines of, yeah, like, I'm going to get my picture. And he took her picture, even though she's like, you know, like, she, and you see in the picture, she looks like shit. Because she's all sweaty, like, and it's like, you fucker. It's like, I told you, do you mind? And so it was just kind of like, there, I got my picture. Like, what are you going to do about it? And then, like, walked off. It's just a total dick.
I mean, I could have done the same thing with Mustaine, but I'm like,
that's what I'm saying.
I don't want a picture of Mustaine unless, you know, I'm standing with the guy.
Yeah, that's the point. It's like, you know, I kind of would like you to be into it too. And if you're not, it's like, oh, look, I could see, and it's easy, I know, for us to say this because we're not in that position.
Sure.
Let's say we were the famous ones and someone came up to us and we weren't in the best mood to be like, hey, buddy, tell you what, I'm going through something right now. Come back in an hour.
Yeah.
And if you come back in an hour, I'll give you pictures. I'll talk to you for a little while. I'll get pictures of all of your kid with you, everybody, whatever you want. But give me some time to myself, and then we'll do that later. Is that cool with you? And then wouldn't that be cool? But he didn't offer that. It was kind of like the weird thing about ignoring you. That's weird.
Yeah.
That's kind of like, wow, that's kind of a dick move. At the same time, I understand. Sometimes you're in the moment, and you're like, you're kind of a little bit freaked out. Because for all I know, this motherfucker's got a gun. And if I don't say anything to him or say the wrong thing, he'll shoot me. So it's kind of like, if I just kind of act cool, he won't talk to me and everything will be fine. Well, who knows? Who knows what was going through his head?
Well,
that's all I'm trying to say.
I take that one away from you just for the fact that he saw me talking to Kiko.
Mm.
And I was talking like, I mean, hey, I know you.
Right.
I met you once. I mean, probably don't remember me from Adam.
Sure.
He remembered me. Sometimes I got to call bullshit on. Yeah, I mean, but that was kind of a unique situation when we interviewed Kiko.
Oh, sure.
That little thing.
Yeah, yeah, that little studio, whatever. Yeah, he was badass.
So, I don't know. I chalked it off as a bad morning. I was kind of hoping the next morning when we were in there and breakfast.
That it'd be better.
I guess his manager or handler or somebody.
Yeah, I don't think they usually travel with other dudes in their entourage or whatever. Yeah.
I thought maybe he would say, hey, man, cool shirt about the Saxon thing. Or, hey, man, sorry about yesterday. I was having a bad day.
Right.
Whatever. But no, didn't even acknowledge me. And I walked right by him. I mean, we were at the little buffet thing. And I said, fuck it. I'm not going to. I did that yesterday. I'm not going to do that again.
Yeah. I'm not going to grovel.
My pride, Jerry.
Exactly. I'm not going to grovel or anything for this date.
That, you know?
Yeah.
You don't want to talk to me? Go fuck yourself. I don't care.
And back in the day when I was young, in my 20s, I might have been more like, oh, man, let's, you know, try to be more catered to the guy. Yeah. But you're right. Now, at this age, we're just like, you know what? You're a guy like me. You put your pants on the same way I do. It's like, what, why we got to make this thing like you're fucking the queen or something and I got to go special? It's like, are you going to be fucking cool around one of the people that, you know, did in fact kind of make you rich and famous or what?
Yeah.
So who knows? I mean, like I said, it's easy to only see one side of the story and and kind of go wrong with it. So we're not trying to say that he owed you the picture or whatever or the time. By the same token, we're not trying to say that he doesn't owe you anything. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, if you would just acknowledge
just common courtesy.
Hey, man, I'm sorry, dude. I'm not in the mood today.
Yeah.
If you would have said that, I would have said, I respect your privacy. No problem, man. And I would have been fine. It's like, oh, he's having a bad day, whatever.
Yeah. Whereas otherwise, it just seems like
wife or whatever.
Right. But otherwise, it seems like I see where you're coming from. It's just like it looks like he was just shining us on and saying like, "Fuck you, I don't have to talk to you. I'm better than you," or something. It's a different feel. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
But anyway, when I talk to Elfson, I'll make sure it's toward the end of the interview, so I don't want to get him in trouble.
Right.
Yeah, but you know, I might bring it up.
It's like, does he do that to you too? Has he fucked with you ever since he fired you?
He didn't talk to anybody in the morning, dude.
You see Ellison like...
After 10:05, he's good.
But like Ellison's like, hey, we're going to do that one set. Let's see, just doesn't even fucking talk to him. Like, fucks and blows him off at breakfast. It's like, dickhead, I work with you. You have to answer my question.
I should have told him it was Eddie Trunk's little brother.
Freddie Trunk.
Freddie Trunk. Eddie Trunk.
And talking to fucking Eddie Trunk. Was, hey,
it's Eddie.
And he's like, oh, fuck, it is. What's up, dude? He's like, you sound just like him. I was sure that was him.
So anyway, real quick, we're going to wrap up here. Before we wrap up, I just want to bring up a concert I went to here about a week or so ago. Saw ZZ Top.
The Top?
The TT Top, which was a pre-planned show. Ended up turning into a Hurricane Harvey-like relief event or whatever. And they have this new venue called the Smart Financial Center here.
Yeah, I've been to Sugarland.
I don't like it.
Oh, really?
I didn't like it. No.
Well, it kind of looks almost, I don't know, it looks like almost like a sports arena or something, like a Toyota Center or something.
Maybe not that big. I mean, we were kind of far away. The acoustics were okay. The music sounded fair. But I don't know. I couldn't get. There's some concerts. I don't know if you're just too far away to really get into it, or what. But I don't know. ZZ Top was good, but they were a little bit sloppy, especially the beginning.
Oh, really?
And yeah, the middle munchkin looked at me and she goes, "Daddy, what's wrong with his voice? Billy's voice was a little shaky at the beginning.
Oh,
a little
weird.
Rough." It was like they hadn't played in a while.
Yeah.
And this was their first show, maybe getting ready for the Guns N' Roses tour. To maybe knock off the cobwebs or something.
Yeah, maybe so.
I didn't look to see what their last show was.
That's weird.
But Billy's playing was a little bit sloppy too. Which, other times I've seen him, is just flawless.
Yeah.
But maybe they're having a bad night, but I kind of chalked it off as shit. They're knocking the rust off before they go on a bigger tour.
No shit. The cobwebs. I guess so. I mean, they're entitled to, I guess, right? And say, look, we got to work on our shit.
Yeah,
give
of course
us a break.
They had the shitty opening band. Local fucking band.
No way, really?
Oh, yeah. It was weird. A bunch of kids.
That's weird, man.
I mean, they look like they were in high school still.
And the thing is, you get what's cool, even if you suck, you get to say later on, open for ZZ Top.
Mm-hmm.
I always think about that when people do that. It's like, even if you suck, you get to say that. Like, yeah, I opened for AC/DC. It's like, holy shit, it just sounds impressive, right? Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you suck cock or not.
Exactly.
But anyway, that leads into my classic. Tracy, please. To pick one of the better songs that I heard live. No knock on ZZ Top. They were awesome. They're always awesome.
Well, totally.
I really dug this song called Pincushion.
That's one of their newer ones?
No. Well, it came out in 94.
Off of...
that album.
That album. The one that's got the three of them on the front?
Yeah. A little cartoon.
Kind of looks like the Digueo or whatever.
Antenna.
Oh, off Antenna. Okay. There was a period where, like, after, what was it, Afterburner or whatever, I didn't really listen to him for quite a while.
Neither.
Until the one with the Gots to Get Paid.
And they played that.
Yeah, you were loving it.
Yeah, I love
it. I know
that.
You dig that,
too. They played Chartreuse, too.
Oh, sweet.
Hell yeah. La Futura, I think, is the name of that one.
Oh, okay.
Oh, one other knock, though. They played fucking covers.
What?
They played a country song.
The fuck?
Fucking, I wanted to blow my brains out. He's like, yeah, man, we were on tour with Jeff Beck over in Europe, and we're like, we ought to play a song together. And Jeff said,
no.
He said, well, and we told Jeff, what rock and roll song you play? And Jeff's like, we both play rock and roll. Why don't we play some country?
Okay.
I fucking, the hairs on the back of my neck started standing up. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
And then it was Stand By Your Man all night.
They played something that was fucking horrible.
That's weird, man.
It was horrible. The Mel Munch is like, Daddy, why are they playing this?
I know. Why did you this bring me awful. To this?
Why would you do this to me?
I thought you were going to teach
me. You don't love me, dude.
Thought you were going to teach me about rock and roll, Dad.
And then they played not Purple Lady, Foxy Lady.
Foxy Lady.
Why?
I don't know, dude. I'm always a little
50 years of music to play.
I know. I'm always a little and I'm always a little scared with any band, no matter how great they are. Goes, let's play a legendary song by fucking Hendrix.
Well, that's what they said, basically.
You're like, why would you want to do that?
Yeah, so
it's all good.
I mean, it's a good show. No knock there. Just kind of bumming that they played the covers and especially the country song. And they ended with Jailhouse Rock.
I know they always do that one old 50s kind of music.
Oh, okay.
But what are you gonna do? Still,
anyway, good show. Would go see them again.
Oh yeah, I mean it's the top. Yeah, I'll never not see the top if I can help it.
Totally. How about you, Holmes?
A little tune from my side.
Lay it on.
I was actually, had the old thing, the old car on shuffle, and this thing song came on, and I don't hear it often in my rotation, so I really dug it. I was like, I forgot, this is a pretty good tune. So how about something from Def Leppard?
Oh, nice.
Action, Not Words.
Oh,
off the old Pyromania,
very
son.
Impressive, right?
That's what I thought. So he's going to blow his fucking mind when he hears this.
Nice.
What you got there for a little regular music, a little pick of the week?
Well, I got to tell you, and I'm going to go back to my trip for a minute because I forgot about this. I had another metal moment. We were in a record store, a very cool little vintage-looking record store in Bologna.
Oh, nice.
And wifey and I had stumbled across it the night prior, and they were closed. So I want to go back. So I'm inside, right? And we're looking around. And there's this music playing. I'm like, wow, this is different. I kind of dig it. And that's one of the things that when I first started going to Europe was one of the funnest things to do was to go in, find new music, bring it back, whatever.
Right.
So anyway, I go to the guy at the counter. I said, what are you playing, man? Oh, man, that's a Steven Wilson. He pulls out the CD.
Nice.
So Steve Wilson's got a brand new record called To the Bone.
To the Bone.
And, God, it's this really eclectic. Because you like Steven Wilson, right?
Sure.
Because I think you dug his last record, didn't you?
Yeah.
Or am I dreaming?
You might be dreaming.
I could be.
I want to see the look on your face while you figure it out.
No shit. So anyway, I was like, damn, I've got that on Holics. I guess if I can get that when I get home. I really dig this because it's like an anthema and some other shit going on.
Yeah. So, nice.
Kind of proggy. I dug it. I dig that. So, how about a little Steven Wilson? This song's called The Same Asylum.
Are you trying to build a nature time?
you got over there?
What I got, lately, I've been jamming to some new shit off the old Frontiers, and a group that I was into a long time ago. This is their third album in, I think, since I started listening to them, which may be the third studio album overall, but they're this group out of, I'm trying to remember where they are, people who like Motley Crue, Helloween, Armored Saint, Def Leppard, that kind of sound, kind of classic, kind of 80s-ish rock and roll. And these guys, they're real big in the European scene, and they're called Hell in the Club. I know I've played them before,
yeah.
But this is their third album that I've listened to, at least, and I think it's great. I mean, I like the band a whole lot, and this one, their new album is called See You on the Dark Side, and I think we're going to give you a good track to give you a sense of what they are like. Let's try We Are on Fire. You like them apples.
Very cool. Yeah, I know you dug this, guys. So when I saw that coming out, I'm like, I know Python's going after that in a heartbeat.
Oh, fuck yeah. I mean, it's produced by the band, but also Simone Mularoni Halls from DGM.
Oh, nice.
Our boy. So, yeah, he produces so many fucking people now, and he's fucking awesome.
Well, welcome back, Python. It's good to hang again, a little show here.
For sure. It's been a long time.
We're gearing up for Halloween. It's just right around the corner.
That's going to be nice.
I don't know what we're up to this year, but we got some stuff in store for you.
We'll cook something up. There's always some shit going on.
Oh, yeah. I tell you what, next show, we're going to talk about some Halloween or some horror movies we've seen recently. So
nice, nice.
Talk about that, too. But anyway, guys, as always, we want to thank you for joining us, and we want to give you two big
holds up.
You ever get the feeling that everything in America is completely fucked up?
The Right to Rock.
Hi, this is Billy Sherwood of World Trade. You're listening to Genghis and the Ragman Show. Horns up.
You're on live with Ragman, Mono E Mono, with a guy that I'm a huge fan of,
and made a record back in 1989 that still stays on my daily rotation. Mr. Billy Sherwood from World Trade. Give it up. Billy, how you doing?
Good.
Dude, I got to tell you, that 89 record that you guys put out, what a phenomenal record that was. And it still surprises me to this day that you guys didn't get more, I guess, out of that record. I mean, you did that record, and then it was, you know, another 6 years before you did your next. Can you kind of tell me, I know it was kind of a sign of the times. We're going into the 90s, and then the grunge stuff was about to start. But why do you think World Trade didn't get the recognition that I and Genghis definitely think?
It really comes down to regime change at the record label. And we got caught up in the politics of that. And that's pretty much the long and the short of it. We were had good momentum going, and then the gentleman who signed us became the president of ATCO Records, Derek Shulman. And when he made that move, all the faucets were turned off, so to speak, for World Trade. And that was the end of it, really.
You know, it's really a shame. There's so many bands that kind of suffered the same fate as you guys that, you know, I don't want to insult you by saying one-hit wonder, but, I mean, you had a great first record, then you just kind of fall off the radar. I mean, luckily for fans, you guys got back together and did Euphoria, you know, about 6 years later. But it would have been nice to see the progression had you guys had more support and been able to, you know, keep rolling early on.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those things, you know, it's not an uncommon story in the music business to hear about people at record companies shifting positions and bands getting caught up in the middle of that, you know?
Yes, sir. Well, let's, I guess we'll fast forward to 95. You know, you put out Euphoria, and I don't know if that was just like, okay, we all have time, let's do something. Was there a thought to try to get things rolling, or was it, let's just put out some new music? I've got, you were producing like crazy, so what was kind of the story behind Euphoria when you guys got back together to do Euphoria?
Well, Euphoria was made in a different way than the first record, or for that matter, this last record, Unify, in that it wasn't really the kind of same band effort that the first one was and that this new one is. It was, you know, Euphoria has a bunch of different musicians on it, where the first record is just the four of us and the new record is just the four of us. So, and it really came down to scheduling and who was doing what and where, and everybody was super busy. And so we kind of made the best of it as we could, but it really was a different type of World Trade record than what we just did, that's for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. It didn't have a little bit different sound to it. I'm such a fan of the first record. I liked Euphoria, but, man, that first record's phenomenal, man.
Yeah, it's really good.
Well, you know, let's talk about this. 22 years it's been since you guys have put something out. You know, what? Why now? And thank you, by the way, but why now?
Well, we wanted to take our time and make sure that everything was in the right order, so we figured give it 20 years and see what happens. I was actually working with Frontiers Records doing a solo album called Citizen that was out about a year ago or so, and then also a Circa record called Valley of the Windmill that they had released. And they asked me, can you put the original lineup together of World Trade and see if you guys want to make a record? And that was really the catalyst to begin the conversations and make it happen. So I credit Frontiers for really being the motivating factor and giving us a platform to do it.
Well, you know what? They've done that with several artists where, you know, a guy will do like a solo deal and then the band he was, you know, in ends up getting a deal on the label. And Frontiers is awesome. I mean, they brought so many great artists back that we hadn't heard from in a long time. It's great what they're doing over there.
Yeah, they're very much supporters of music. So yeah, they were really the catalyst, and everybody's schedule was free, and it seemed like the time was okay to jump in, so we just did it. We didn't want to do it unless we could really commit to the four of us doing it as a band, which is what we did this time around. So it all worked out for the best.
Well, I had read that you guys, I guess back in the early 2000s, y'all talked about doing something. There was a project I guess a working title of PSYOP.
That was actually going to be a conspiracy record.
Oh, okay.
The follow-up to The Unknown, but Chris and I just didn't really find the time to be able to make that happen, basically.
Oh, okay. Well, let's talk about Unify. First record, like I said, in 22 years. Yeah, how did when you got the guys back together, how did you guys put this record together? Was it everybody coming in with ideas, or did you guys sit down and kind of work some stuff out, you know, free form in the studio, or was it some leftover stuff that y'all had worked on previously?
No, it was all fresh material, and once we knew we were going to do this, Bruce Gowdy took the lead and created a bunch of instrumental tracks, as he did on the first record. And then I came in after and put in the vocals and the lyrics and the melodies. And that's really how it sort of begins. And then we track drums and put the keys on it, of course, and all that stuff. But it all really starts with Bruce leading the charge and coming up with these great pieces of music to work on. I credit him for a lot of it.
Nice. Well, one of my first favorite tracks from the record is a track called Life Force. A good kind of rocking type tune, World Trade style. How did that song come together for you guys?
Kind of thing I just explained, where Bruce had a track and presented it to me, and I thought, man, this is really good. And so I grabbed a bass and started playing around with what a bass line might be on it, and then one thing leads to another, and we're working on vocals and lyrics, and the song just kind of takes shape, you know?
Oh, dude.
That's kind of how we do it.
It's an awesome track, too. I wanted to ask you, because I'm a fan of your bass playing as well as your vocals, what kind of basses do you prefer to play?
I endorse and have for a long time Spectre basses. They've been really good to me, and I love playing their basses, and I have many, and some of them are quite unique. I have an 8-string that they built me in 86. That's a one-of-a-kind instrument that Stuart made for me, and more recently, this new bass that I have with a bunch of fish running up and down the scales,
kind cool.
of, you know, in honor of Chris, really, is what that was about for me.
That's awesome.
They're great basses, though. They sound great.
Oh, yeah. The sound you get is just really kind of unique, and I really, really dig it. I dig your phrasing and so forth as well.
Cool. Thanks, man.
Well, another track that I really dig is...
I couldn't have landed where I landed without listening to a lot of Chris Squier, obviously.
Chris was the man.
Jocko and McCartney and Geddy Lee and all those guys. So I tried to find my own niche in there. But, yeah, a lot of inspiration from people.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, listen to World Trade, one of the things I really enjoy, and I can't say this about a lot of bands, is the bass. I really dig your, like, when you're doing the slides on the bass and stuff like that. And
yeah.
It's just really cool.
Yeah, right on. Cool.
Another track I wanted to mention was Going All the Way. I dig the kind of progressive vibe of that track, and again, just kind of really kind of a deep type track for me. What are your thoughts? Is there a track that on there that on the new record that really sticks out to you?
Gone are the streets, gone are the soul, gone all the way, gone all the way, gone is the world I used to know.
that's one of my favorites as well, just because it's got such a unique harmonic value to the whole thing, and I really like the lyrics and the story of this guy who's kind of like a Twilight Zone and down in his bunker when all hell breaks loose and pops his head up to realize he's the only guy left, you know? So that sense of abandonment and destruction and, you know, in this nuclear age, I just found that kind of storyline to be interesting to write about, and the music just totally lends itself to that feeling. It's quite good.
Oh, I agree 100%, man. I really do. Was there a track on there that was, you know, kind of really hard to maybe come up with lyrically? You know, you said Bruce came in with a lot of instrumentals, but was there a couple songs that you like, I don't know if I can do anything with this, and it ended
not
up maybe...
Really.
Which one?
Not really. I mean, Bruce's music is always inspiring to me, and I get an idea pretty quickly of what maybe a title might be or a key lyric that sets me off to write the words, and it comes kind of quickly. When I was a kid, it used to take me forever to finish a third verse on the first record. I think we were driving around trying to find a third verse to one of those songs forever, it felt like. But my writing skills, if you will, it improved since then, and I've learned to just kind of go with my own flow, so things tend to happen quite quickly nowadays, which is good.
Well, let me ask you this, and I've heard this from a lot of guys that, you know, have been recording on Frontiers or some older bands that are, you know, putting out new music. Well, what kind of time frame did you guys have to do this record? Was it pretty quick, or did you have a little bit more time on your hands to get things together?
Well, we were all getting kind of busy with schedules, so we committed to really getting the majority of it done in a couple of months. But from beginning to end was about 6 months total, I think.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. You know, some of the guys I've talked to, they've been recording in 6 to 12 days. I mean, like really old-school Beatles type stuff. It's
sure.
Crazy, man.
Yeah, no, we take a little more time, you know. We're older guys. It takes a little longer.
Yeah, I hear you, man. I hear you. Well, another question regarding to the Frontiers deal. When you guys signed with them, did they say, okay, we want something like the first album, or did they kind of give you free rein to do what you wanted?
They were hoping that it would feel like the first album, and I think the four of us doing what we did and the way we did it pushed it into that area quite well for them. So I think they were really happy with the end result as well as we were.
I really think you kind of captured the magic from the first record. It's got a lot of similarities, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I might not be singing as high as I was back then in terms of range, but... you know, I'm that was 27 years ago. So, my voice has changed a bit, but the energy and the feeling and the lyrics and the melodic content is still what was and feels like we just finished the first record and started this one, you know.
That's awesome. You know, the more vocalists we talk to, you know, from the genre, from the 80s and stuff, a lot of guys are talking about tuning down, and it's so refreshing, you know, when guys tune down and know their range rather than a guy going out there and almost kind of embarrassing himself with, man, dude, you can't hit those notes anymore. It's cool. We want to see you, but you might want to look at stepping things down a little bit.
Well, I still sing pretty high up there. I mean, you know, all the Yes harmonies are very stratospheric because Chris was way up there. So I still have that range and that sort of ability, but I'm drawn to more of the range when I'm writing that you hear on that record.
Well, congratulations, by the way, getting the Yes gig. I know you've been, you know, messing with those guys for many years now, but after Chris's death, taking Chris's place, that had to be a great honor for you.
It was. It's still amazing as we speak. It's an amazing thing, and the same with Asia, you know, now replacing Wetton at his request, so it's been crazy.
rise above. Our current state of reevaluation, rising as one above our station.
So, is it, Billy, is it kind of surreal being up there playing with guys that you are a huge fan of, and now you're in the band replacing some of your, I don't know if idols, but I know Chris was definitely a major influence on you.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, I never imagined in a million years I'd be getting that call from Chris, as I did. But we were friends for 30 years. And obviously, you know, I had Conspiracy outside of Yes, and had a whole relationship going on outside of that. So when he called, there was just no way I was going to say no, you know. So it's a little easier to do it now, but the first couple of tours were pretty rough emotionally. It's feeling a little more normal now. But, yeah, it's definitely heavy. And the same with John Wetton, which is more recent. We just finished doing 45 shows with Journey as Asia, opening for them. And that was the same kind of situation where it was just like, how did I get here? How did this happen, you know? But two of my biggest influences in prog rock, I mean, King Crimson, UK, Yes, you know, I mean, Asia, all these bands. So it's familiar ground, and, you know, it's where I live in that progressive world, but never imagined it, man, and honored to do so on both accounts.
So, dude, you probably have no spare time. It doesn't sound like.
Not a lot. I'm trying to fit in breakfast right now and see how that's going to work.
There you go. There you go, man. Well, we won't keep you much longer, but let me ask you this. What's a, cause it's kind of state of Yes, and I if you don't want to answer this, it's fine. I was just kind of wondering, you know, there's kind of two sanctions. What's the thought of the, you know, Yes, and now I think Anderson, Rabin, and Wakeman are now Yes featuring ARW, basically. Is there a real faction there, or is it like, okay, you guys do your thing, we're going to do our thing, and or
it's
is there...
It's pretty much that. I mean, you know, Yes has been going on since 67 under this one flag. You know, and that's the ship that I sail on, and you know, the rest is all very deep politics and craziness that I try to stay away from as much as I can. I mean, you get drawn in a little bit, but I just keep my head down and try to serve as best I can playing with the band Yes, which is what I joined and have been involved in now for 30 years or so. So I'm quite happy to be playing with the musicians on stage. Everybody's playing great. We're about to start a tour. We're doing this special event for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame coming up. So there's a lot of cool things happening. We're doing this Yestival tour right now. Todd Rundgren opening for us. Carl Palmer's band is going to play in front of that. So, you know, I'm just proceeding as Chris desired to remain in Yes and just keep my head down and keep going, you know.
That's awesome. I've always said that if they made a documentary on Yes, first off, it'd have to be probably 10 hours long with all the history. And I mean, just reading some of the Wikipedia stuff is just so interesting of all the, you know, guys leaving, coming back, and so forth. So it sounds like the lineup here is pretty solid. Is there any plans for new music, you know, in the future?
Well, we're talking a little bit about it, but, you know, I'm always into making music, so anytime the band is ready to go for it, I'm ready to go for it. We'll just have to see how that unfolds, you know, with the schedules and everything that's going on. There's a lot of plans to tour, so just got to figure out how it would all work out. But I would imagine at some point it would have to be done, because that's what Yes does. So we'll just have to see.
Well, let me ask you this. As far as World Trade's concerned, live shows, have you guys, is there a chance that you guys would be able to play maybe like the Frontiers Festival and possibly do a DVD? Because I know it's...
We'd like to, but, you know, we're all individually pretty busy, and I'm extremely busy between these two bands now, AJ and Yes, doing what they're doing. So it's just a matter of scheduling an opportunity. So, again, we'll just have to see what happens. But, you know, we would like to, that's for sure. If the opportunity presents itself, we would go for it.
You know? That would be awesome, especially if you could record it. So, you know, there would be...
evidence.
Exactly, it actually happened.
Exactly.
Because I know Guy and Bruce, I heard that they were trying to do some shows with Unruly Child. I don't know if that's still in the making or not. But
I think they went to Italy to do a show or two not too long ago. But I don't really know what those guys are up to.
Well, good deal. Well, last thing here, Billy. Sounds like you don't have a lot of time for producing, but I don't know if you have any other things work in the mix here,
well,
project-wise.
I'm actually producing a tribute to Chris Squire, and it's going to be, you know, filled with various guest artists in the way that I normally kind of invite people on board these projects. And the tracks are cut. The basic tracks are all cut. So it's just a matter of when I get home, start to dive into really getting all the other additional guests lined up. But that's the latest thing that I've got my hands in. There's other things on the horizon that I'm being asked to do, and this, that, and the other, and, you know, it's just a matter of timing. But I'm a workaholic, so it'll all get done.
It sounds like it, man. You barely even have time for breakfast.
Exactly.
Well, Billy, before we let you go, is there anything you'd like to tell the fans out there today?
I just appreciate the support after all these years from the fans who are following and have been hanging in there. And, you know, come see Yestival. It's if you look on yesworld.com, you'll see tour dates, and come out and see the show.
Awesome. Well, Billy, we want to thank you for coming on the Genghis and Ragman show here on therightdrive.com. And we want to tell all the fans to go out, grab World Trades Unify out on Frontiers. It's a great record.
Right.
Billy, thank you so much. It was an honor to talk to you, man. I could talk to you for a lot longer, but you got to eat, man.
I got to get something to eat.
Billy, thanks again, man. Good luck with everything, brother.
Take care, bro.
We hope you check out our website at therighttorock.com, where you can find music and video reviews, along with occasional bits of other metal and beer-related info. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Our show's posted on a regular schedule, but we average a couple a month, so feel free to leave a review and tell your friends so we can spread the word. But above all, please check out the artists we play on the show, and support good music wherever you find it by buying from your favorite merchant. And that definitely includes the amazing Tracy G. We love you, brother, who writes all of our original theme music. You can find him online at TracyG.com, so check him out. Well, that's it, and there it is. I'm your announcer, Joey Clams, reminding you to drink good beer, support good music, and keep those horns up.